January 3rd, 2017, it's Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show, happy 2017. This is the first edition for this new year. I'm in Pedro, but now with Brother Maddie's indisposed. Next week, I think I get to be with him again. But I'm not alone via the wonders of Skype. Thank you, good software engineers in Estonia. I've got Lee Colcott here from London, England, to talk about his journey through music. I should say we started off with John Coltrane doing Witch's Pit. This is when he was a side man, actually. A couple other Barry players. And Prestige started, John Coltrane started doing his own thing. He used to do some of this, too. He played with anybody. I've got the Prestige box set, and it's pretty incredible. And it's neat to hear him in those, what led to what he would do later in his life. And then we had Leevil with Skank Bag Sally. And Lee, tell me your earliest musical memory.
My earliest musical memory would have been hearing Oliver's Army by Elvis Costello. I'm not really a fan of Elvis Costello, but I remember that song. It's probably the first kind of melody that I remember.
Where were you?
I was at my grandmother's house in Enfield, and my uncle had this. He was kind of into his music a lot. I remember him having this old separate stereo, big record collection. So, I have this distinct memory of kind of hearing the song, just playing in the lounge room.
Your family was visiting or something?
I'd spend a lot of time with my grandmother's, we'd go, back and forward family stuff.
Sure.
And then probably the next one would be Super Trooper by ABBA. I remember hearing that.
And was it record or was it radio?
It was radio, and it was in the car. I remember we were going on a shopping trip or something.
So how old are we talking about?
I must have been about 5, maybe.
Okay, kindergarten. Okay. So that is very interesting. What about the first record you bought? On your own.
The first record I bought was Flash by Queen.
Okay.
Being a little kid and into Star Wars and all that stuff, I remember Top of the Pops played a video with all clips of the film, and that was it. And it was all over the record shops at the time, this Flash logo everywhere.
Yeah, so do you remember, record stores, visiting record stores, going through the bins?
Sure, yeah.
What about cassettes?
My mum was massively into music. My dad liked music too, but my mum really, she had the kind of music passion.
Was just a listener, or did she make music herself?
No, just a listener. And she was kind of...
So did you have anybody in the pad playing?
No, not at all. But what happened was, when my mum and dad split up, my mum got into punk in the early 80s. So probably about 81, 82, my mum started getting into punk music. Big time, and hanging out with a punk crowd and that kind of thing. And
that kind of music from that scene, right?
Totally. It's weird. Like, for instance, years later, I remember hearing This Ain't No Picnic by the Minutemen and recognizing it from, like, someone must have stuck it on the stereo one day round there or something. It's really, really weird.
Wow. Well, it wasn't a single, so somebody must have had double nickels on the dime.
The album or, on the vinyl or something. People had always come around to be playing their records.
It wasn't just a record, it was a double record.
But I remember growing up, a lot of time, most of my mum's stuff was 7-inch, and, all of the album, all of the record covers. There was one by a band called The Skids.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
Charade. And the cover of it was it was a picture of two guys playing cards. And I think one of them was kind of holding a gun maybe behind his back or something like that. A lot of those album covers made a big impression on me. I'd spend a long time looking at them.
Sure. What about school? Did you do any music in school?
When I was about 12, I think, I started to learn the violin. Okay. And I spent about a year on that, played the Christmas concert, The only fucking thing we did the whole time was the theme from Alfred Hitchcock, and it was like a 3-hour concert.
Alfred Hitchcock?
The old Alfred Hitchcock presents.
Oh, his own show, yeah.
Yes, right. Well, the only bit we did was the kind of do do do, and that was it. that was our contribution. So
now, whose idea was violin?
It was mine. We had home economics, and I wasn't interested in cooking at all. And they had a drum kit, and I really wanted to learn the drum kit.
They had a drum kit in the home ec room.
No, they had a music room, tiny music room with a drum kit set up.
Sure.
But they wouldn't let me on it. So the only other way I could get out of home ec was to do violin.
Okay. At least it was music.
I kind of enjoyed it, but this concert was so, the rehearsals were so awful. If you can imagine those school kids that were all equally shit at playing. And there'd be these eight-hour rehearsals, and the only thing that we had to do was dum dum dum, these three strokes on the violin. Yeah. So I quit after that.
Okay. Look, this Barking Station on Acid. What can you tell me about this tune?
That song was. I tried to base it on an experience of. A bunch of us one night going out to this nightclub. There used to be this great alternative club in Ilford called The Island, Ilford in Essex, kind of London border. The Island would have like a couple of thousand people at its peak going listening to rock and alternative music every Friday. One day on the way up there, someone had popped acid into our beer. And we arrived at Barking Station, which is it's a pretty rough place. Barking was where me and my buddies grew up. We basically arrived at the station, and this fog had arrived, and everyone had come up, and it was shit scary. Everyone freaked out at the same time. So I thought, a short song about that experience.
Okay, let's listen.
I'm on my way across the Golden Valley. I'm on my way, I'm leaving today. I said I'm on my way, you never turn me back now. There's nothing left to do. Hallelujah, I'm on my way. I said I'm on my way to the Golden Valley. I won't be hindered. Pray my will won't bend, Lord, my heart won't sway. People, when I'm on my way, you never turn me back now. There's nothing left to do. Hallelujah, I'm on my way. Said I'm on my way, you never bend or break me. I can't be hindered.
My girl likes to stay home at night just to watch a bug pop on her Bud Light, Bud Light, Bud Light.
Look at us, look at us, look at us.
Watch for Pedro Show. Yep, that was Barking Station on Acid. Leevil. After that, Luke Winslow, King on My Way. Yeah, I got some stuff from Bloodshot out of Chicago. Flat Five, Bug Light. Babes, New York City, they got new recording. Tiger Knight out of Skopje. Vasco out of Nosovsky. Out of Nosovsky. God, got to get better at that. With Godovi, the Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, Z mix, of course. The Wrinkling Brothers, Anaconda Feet. Wrinkling Brothers, that's Joe Dean's proj with George Hurley on drums. Speaking of which, we said Picnic and Dime, Double Nickels on Dime, and I just learned we lost Keith Sherron. He was a really, really nice cat. Him and Tim Irwin put together that documentary, We Jam Econo, more than 10 years ago now. And just a beautiful man, and brain cancer got him. It was terrible. I really miss him. He was very sweet. Also to my ma every year, Christmas stuff for her. You know, he was really glad she was in that doc. Well, you find out that actually, Dee Boone's ma and Georgie's ma, all of them were very strong with the Minutemen. Sin Consuelo, very be careful. Yeah, some guy came up to me and last week we played with X in West Hollywood, and this guy, hey, I saw you with Very Be Careful, and yeah, I love cumbia. And I said, I thought it's Vallenato. Yeah, that's older version. That was so cool. It's the Guzman brothers, you know. These guys, righteous band. We'll play together again. And then finally, Stefano Pelia, which is El Sonio de Marinaio, guitar man, with his solo album. And the big daddy on that, baby, The Invisible City. And I just got a box of music from him, so we'll be playing some more of his stuff. And a flannel. Love getting flannels from Italy. And actually, last time I was in London was with Stefano and Andrea, and it's when I saw Lee at this strange kind of club, like in a mall. Kind of trippy vibe. What is it called? Academy?
That's right. The O2 Academy.
Yeah, I think when I go back, you know, we're going to do another tour, El Sonio de Marinaio, in September, October. And I think Otto, have you been to that pad?
I haven't, actually. I keep hearing about gigs going on there. I haven't made it over there.
I've been invited to do a residency, so I think I'll do something with Thirst one day, and then the Italian guys, they'll do that because they do their own solo musics, too.
And, awesome.
It was just something about the vibe of that. But, you know, everybody was very cool.
That's wicked, man.
But, you know, where I'd like to go back to is where I... first two gigs in a long time that I really liked in London was Lexington. I also like that place by where you were in, what was it, Windmill?
Yes.
Brixton.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
South of the river.
Did you see the little windmill?
I did. I also saw the dog on the roof.
Sits on the roof.
Yeah, he like belongs there, I think. That's what people told me. So, okay, Lee... Besides the violin, when do you start making music?
I actually decided to make music. I can tell you the exact moment. And I was watching the Rollins Band at Reading, 1994.
Hank Rollins.
Sorry?
Hank Rollins.
Yes, yeah. Okay. He was playing lyre. And the crowd were chanting, "You Fat Bastard," at him. And he changed all of the lyrics to the song on the spot, just ripping the piss out of England. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Okay. And so you said, I want to start a band.
me and my mum stood there, and we were just hooting with laughter. And the whole crowd was throwing things at him and everything. It was brilliant. And I was watching it, and I thought, oh, man, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Okay, so we got to give Hank credit. I should have asked you, what was your first gig? The first band you saw live.
I think that's pretty important. The first band I saw live were the Florida satanic heavy metal band Deicide. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Because it was so extreme, and it scared the shit out of any of my friends who had only ever heard kind of early 90s rave music or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like, this affects people. I'm gonna get into this. I can't say I've got too much into the sacrificing goats side of things. But I like the extremeness of the music.
And you wanted to see a gig. How old were you?
Yeah, I was 16.
Okay, so you were still in high school.
Yeah, totally. And I thought it was unbelievable. It was awesome. The funniest thing was I was wearing an REM t-shirt when I walked in this crowd of Satanists. I did not fare well in the mosh pit, I'll tell you that much.
That's okay. That was just for the grist for the mill. now you see you later on, you see Hank, and now you want to make a band. So what's your first attempt?
Well, I tried out for loads of bands. I wanted to be a singer. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I just kept trying out for all these bands, and they were, like, pretty good.
And we're talking, like, the Barking area?
And kind of a bit wider out into London. Okay. But it didn't really get going.
What'd you do? You answered ads in the paper, or by this time there's internet?
In the Melody Maker and the NME back in the day, and Kerrang magazine as well.
Sure.
They'd all have news of ads, so I'd just go and respond to them. And if it was something that looked, sort of along my musical tastes, I'd give them a call. Normally last the rehearsal, and they'd be like, keep trying.
So kind of a character builder, so.
totally. I got used to rejection pretty quick. But it didn't really get going until these older dudes that I'd seen at this club that I was talking about, the Island. They played there. And a few years later, the band had split up, and they asked me to join up with them and sing. And they just gave me a shot, basically. And even though I didn't know what I was doing, they gave me a good chance. And that was my friends Pat and Andre. And they put me on the road.
And what's the name of that band?
Flickhammer. Like a flick.
F-L-I-C-K, yeah.
Yeah. And it was a joke. It's like the Irish mugger would mug you with a flick hammer. That was the joke that they said. So.
Well, a flick hammer is a little hammer. It's not, doesn't pack much punch.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Irish mugger. Of course he would have to be Irish.
He didn't have a flick knife, he had a flick hammer.
Funny. Human beings are fun. Okay, so what, you guys go on tour?
No, we lasted for two gigs.
Oh, two gigs at the Island?
No, we played one at a local pub called the Westbury in Barking, which was pretty famous for the fights and just kind of basic, rough activity. And somehow we brought heavy metal and hardcore to this, like, little dingy cutthroat pub and packed it out. It was an enormous success. And then the second gig, the bassist and the guitarist started kicking each other. Because I was so terrible, and that so they.
Because you were so terrible, they started fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Which is pretty impressive. They didn't even beat me up. It was kind of. I just remember these two guys that had been best friends for years, and I remember they were kind of kicking each other outside the place, and it was like, oh God, I can see what I'm doing here.
Oh man. Well, sometimes things are like. What was the second gig?
The second gig was supporting, it was quite a significant gig, really, because we were supporting my friends Maya Scene, who were, they were unbelievable, unbelievably good band. I'll have to chuck you, you know, throw you in their direction.
That would be bitchy, but like one more gig and then the band was through.
Yeah, one more gig, the band was through.
Was there more fighting on stage?
No. It was just after the show.
Just
outside. And I ended up joining the band that played after us at that gig, a band called Evel Knievel. But that didn't last long either.
We'll get to that because we're at the end of the first hour. It's January 3rd, 2017, Dish Waffle Pedro Show, special guest, Knievel. Hold tight for hour two. January 3rd, 2017, it's the second hour of the Waffle Pedro Show.
A long time ago, in feudal Japan, a shogun awakens in the dead of night to respond to the call of nature. He makes his way through the darkened castle towards the toilet area. He lifts up his robes, sticks his big fat ass over the latrine pit area, and begins to strain out a large turd, whilst contemplating the sumptuous feast that he'd eaten earlier that evening at the expense of the people that he worked like dogs. Isn't it a shame how the shogun died with that spear up his backside? People had enough of his greedy old ways, no longer would they let him stay. Isn't it a shame how the shogun died with that spear up his backside? People had enough of his greedy old ways, no longer were they gonna let him stay. There was a ninja waiting in the hole. She was waiting to fill out her role, and when she saw that rear, she grabbed her spear, stuck it up there till it was coming out his hair. There was nothing anybody could do. The shogun never got to finish that poo. The ninja's plan worked like a dream. The lord never even got a chance to scream. The ninja climbed up and snuck out the back, jumped in the river and washed off the sack.
Wider, 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 legs are like a jellyfish. Oh no, I. Roy Scheider. It's the sea, it's the sea, what Wormwood Shark, sea most deadly. It's the sea, it's the sea, where Coldwood pirates need to steal your gold.
We'll be right back. me take you to the mission field, through the barrooms of Bedford Street, where the light doesn't shine and the devil dies. See the papers who live in grind, eating gruel and drinking wine. Seven children sit senseless in sin. To the bedridden mother of four, beating hard in a drunken brawl. A husband sleeps it off in the back of the house. Pious, now full of despair, falling away.
Watt from Pedro Show started the second hour off with Ninja 4, The Defecation from Leevil. Any insights to that tune?
Yeah, sure. Growing up, I wanted to be a ninja when I became an adult.
You too.
I got into the films of Sho Kosugi. I don't know if you're familiar with that name.
Yeah.
He was like an 80s ninja star for Canon Films. He's a dreadful actor, but great ninja.
Okay.
And I wanted to be like him. And I got this book about ninjas, and then one day read that one of the preferred ninja methods was to hide in the latrine with a big fucking spear. So when someone would go for a poo in the middle of the night, they'd stick the spear up their ass. And after that, I thought, well, if they can't throw a smoke bomb under there, you know, and get in and out quick, then I don't want to do it. It put me off being a ninja, to be honest. So I thought I'd make a point of mentioning that.
Yeah, that's great inspiration for it, too. Then we had Clay Chaplin with Basking Improv 3, Space with Sharks, based out of Liverpool. Another fill there. Negative Scanner out of Chicago with Forget It, 5-Year Plan, Sheffield. La Llorona's Kiss. And then the Payroll Union, I think they're Sheffield too, Mission Field. Finally, Panther Paw out of Brighton with Cities, the rehearsal studio take. Okay, this persona you got, Leevil. This has some kind of connect with the Evel Knievel band that you were just talking about?
Yeah. I got kicked out of them. I mean, to be fair, I was still shit. I was trying to sing like John Garcia from Caius. I come from Barking, man. I don't sound anything like John Garcia.
That's okay.
Yeah, they kicked me out, and they formed another band, got another singer, started doing well, and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, it really angered me. So my friends in this band, Maya Singh, amazing musicians, they basically, I was pretty depressed one day, and they were like, oh, come on, man, we'll jam a tune out with you. And it basically started Leevil inadvertently because they knocked up a backing track for me. And I thought, right, I'm just going to, like, if bands are going to kick me out, I'm kicking the band out. I'm going to get up on my own and fuck the band. I'll just play a CD and scream and holler and go mental over it.
Great idea.
Yeah, kind of like a hip-hop format or something, but without the vinyl and the DJs.
I mean, you tried, right? And it just didn't work out, so why not, have your own backing track and start singing.
Totally. So at first, the guys from Maya Singh helped me knock up the backing tracks. But to be fair, I was just leaning on them all the time for more songs. And basically, I got this gig. And the first gig I played, by fluke, it got a big write-up in this magazine. And Maya Singh had got me on this bill. The guy was there to, you know, kind of do their review. And he ended up, he did their review, and he gave me this big chunk in this magazine.
Oh, great.
Did you
use the name Leevil?
Yeah.
Now, what's the connect to Leevil with Evel Knievel? Well, I know Evel Knievel over here. He was a stuntman on a motorcycle.
That's right. Well, they were... everyone in the band had a silly name, so there was the Reverend Owl. I can't remember what Big Seamus was called, but he was the one who said, Leevil Knievel, you're going to be Leevil Knievel.
Oh, okay, so it was your band name, okay.
Yeah.
Like you joined the Ramones. I remember Clem Burke told me they named him Elvis Ramone. He played two gigs with him.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, what about this Dirty Bong Water? We're going to listen to that right now.
Okay.
How long in the process? That's down the road, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was, I was round at my friend's house. I'd been able to finish work early that day. My friend lives down the road in Brixton. Popped round his house. He had an electronic kit and a dirty bong. And and we kind of he drummed the beat out, and then the place stunk of dirty bong water. It was disgraceful, to be honest. Okay. Nick Sateri, change your bong water.
Yeah, let's listen.
Like the last. Route 17. It is the second latest halogen following chlorine, and the element is a yellow-green gas under standard conditions where it forms ionic molecules. Affinity and the third highest electronegativity of all the reactive elements. And for this reason, chlorine is a strong oxidizing agent used within industries for production, bleaching, and disinfection. And you might be familiar with the odor from industrial cleaning or reminiscent of communal swimming.
the shit's kettle. your depression. And I open my mind.
Raise my hand just to say a word, but you laughed and flew away. the sea, dancing in the sunlight. You and me now, baby, we're gonna look blue. When a brown eyed man meets a blue eyed girl, hallelujah, daddy.
Pedro Show. You just heard Senior Al doing Loop the Loop. Before that, yeah, I think he's out of London. Perfect Cluster. No Depression. Yeah, all these things. Yeah, this cat from Mr. Susan, Ben. Yeah, that's where this chunk of music a lot of it came from. No Depression, Perfect Cluster. Ahead of that was Decoy Octopus from Parachute for Gordo. You know Gordo, right? That means fat. It's fat. Chess, the Mary X incident. Sorry. Hearst Pile Up with Grindstone. Space Church ahead of that with Chlorine. And then, I got this 7-inch in the mail. Miss Lonely Heart with Ordinary Living. And we started off, of course, Dirty Bong Water by Leevil. So, you went there to play his little drum kit, so you started making your own backing tracks.
Over time.
Because your friends were getting tired of you leaning on them.
Exactly, yeah. It wasn't fair. They had their own stuff going on.
Sure.
And it just kind of came to the time. It was like, I went out, cleared a credit card, bought a load of kind of electronic synth stuff, haven't really got into the computer production side of music. It's just more been about hardware synthesizers and samplers and stuff. Even though for this album, because a bit of my equipment broke, most of the drums were done on an iPad, which is cheating, I admit. But hey, what can you do when the bloody equipment fails?
It's software.
The drums were done on software. Most of the keyboards just sort of played live. I will start the song not really thinking much. Normally from the percussion standpoint.
Yeah.
And as I get the beat going, because it's an electronic beat, you can kind of muck around and get little tonal sounds in there too. And then I'll just take a bit of time and imagine something over it.
Before your buddies were giving you the backing track, so of course the words came after. Yeah, totally. For gigs, what do you bring? Like a
What I do, I get to gigs on public transport, but I'm tight, so I won't bring my synths out with me in case I get mugged. So I just basically bring, at the moment, my setup is a phone to play the majority of the backing track, a Chaos mixer, which is a four-channel DJ mixer with a Chaos pad built into the side of it.
Yeah, Brother Matt's got one of those made by Korg, right? You do something with your fingers by pressing on a kind of screen.
Totally.
A pad.
Kind of part of my early days reputation in London was that I would play the Chaos pad with my genitals.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, again, if people looked bored, it was like, well, this will fucking wake you up. And it did. It worked.
So all you need is that, and that's a small box, right? And then, of course, the phone is kind of small. And it's just those two things?
I'll bring a Super 55 Shure mic.
Okay, of course, a microphone. So the old kind of bullet guys.
That's about it, really. It's pretty basic. It's just more about...
So you can carry it in like a back sack or something?
I've got a little suitcase and I'll just kind of wheel that down the road.
So sometimes
I'll bring more equipment if it's viable.
Yeah, it's not as big as schlep. So they use direct boxes and just hook you up. Okay. And then you play the backing track, you sing over it. Yeah.
Totally. It's like the band is fired, you get a front man. It's like sort of low budget band.
What's this band kind of recent in England? Something Mods?
Sleaford Mods.
That's it.
I've never heard them. I've heard the name.
People tell me that's kind of what they do. They just set up a little rhythm thing and the guy raps over it.
Right, I see.
And I've been recommended to check them out.
It's funny actually that like this show is kind of my way into the underground. I don't follow music that much in my own because I'm so in the middle of my own stuff at the moment. It's good. I can be at work and kind of put on the Pedro show. What's going on in the world?
Okay, and we're just at the end of the second hour, January 3rd, 2017. Our guest Leavell, people hold tight for hour three. January 3rd, 2017, it's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
and I jumped on it, and all my friends kind of watched me disappear into this tunnel hanging off this train that was carrying a slag or something. And, that's what that song's about.
It's about you jumping on a random freight train.
When I was drunk on cider.
Drunk on cider. And, well, how did it end up?
It ended up, I ended up at a techno rave in Hackney.
Hackney's a part of East London, right?
Yes, yeah, that's right. It was where I was intending to go to, but, the train ended up going through a tunnel, and it kind of stopped in the tunnel, and then started going again, and I just thought, right, whatever speed it's going, I'm jumping off when it comes out of the tunnel. And that was what I did. I jumped off. Two rail workers chased me to a fence, climbed over the fence, got on a bus, ended up at the techno rave. Awesome. Wow.
Like Ishmael, lived to tell the tale. You know, Scott Ashton, Stooges, he told me about 16 jumping on a train and falling off and broke his back. It hurt him the rest of his life.
Shit. It's
the biggest
thing I've ever done.
Yeah, so people watch out about jump trains. We started the third hour off with the subject of that tune, Light Cider, Freight Train Rider, Leavell. Then a brand new album from Dahlem, Paulina Oliveros, and Nels Klein, a collaboration, improv in particular. And then finally Toxic Mutants out of Cologne with Formicula. Guess Leavell here. You're planning now to a new piece of work?
Yes. Yeah. Leavell, the project, will be 15 years old on April the 1st.
Okay.
By the way.
There's a lot of Leavell up on the your SoundCloud page, right?
That's right, yeah.
SoundCloud.com/...
Leavell, L-E-V-I-L.
That's it, okay, people. SoundCloud.com/... Leavell. Go check that out. There's a lot of... 15 years worth of music up there. They're great, great tunes, I love them.
Thanks, Mike.
We're going to play you something live, though.
Awesome.
It's a tune called The Biggin. And what about this festival? Tell me something about this gig.
Yeah. That gig was at a little festival called the Malk Fest that goes on in Kent. And there's a band called Jevra who...
And Kent is like the southeast part of England.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Is Ramsgate Kent?
Yes, okay. Yes it is.
Because I got to play there.
Great town. Yeah, man. How was that?
I really liked it. A little seaside town. And you can tell old-timey, old days.
Quite scenic, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not too far from the Canterbury.
That's right.
Yeah. So what about this festival?
It's a little festival that goes on out the back of a pub. A fella called Malcolm... He's just had a little one, so they put the festival off for a couple of years. But every year when it's his birthday, basically, they would get this field out the back of the pub, put a couple of tents up, and just run this week sort of 4-day festival.
Right.
And it's awesome, you know, people have just come through and bands from all over the world have popped through. Really cool little place, man.
What happened? Here's the Biggin from Leavell.
You should not do that. That's called giving it the Biggin when you... But I get a reprieve, this is why. See, I'm fucking bigger than all of you now. Anyway, the reason I'm babbling was because I was queuing that track up. Thank you.
like your Al Capone, giving it like your Sly Stallone, but really you're just Jimmy Hart, yelling into his megaphone, giving it like you're the great Carly, giving it like you're Bruce Lee, giving it like you're Big Daddy, but it's only one for the American. You're too big and wise, too big to hide, see that giving it to a guy, don't give it to me. Like you're the big show, giving it like your Bam Bam Bigelow, giving it like your Papa Pump, but you run off with an Amphoric Gump, giving it like your Jackie Chan, giving it like you're the big boss man, giving it like your Big Man Vader, giving it the big and fucking Ada, giving it like your Dominator, giving it like your Big John Slater, giving it like your RBG, back to the Van Terminator, giving it like your Big Jim Slater, giving it like your Big John Slater, giving it like your Big Tool Fight, Fight, John Lamb, and the fucking Fly!
Thank you.
Hot from Peter Show. Okay. The Bigot Live. Leavel. Now, I got to tell you, people, it's hard for you to tell, but he was wearing a mask. You might... I think the mouth part wasn't covered, but the face part was. What was it, a cat?
No, it's a skull.
It was a skull. Okay, it looked like a cat or a wild cat, a leopard. Or okay, it was just a skull.
Uh-huh.
And you jumped up on the table. Do you like to get confrontational at your gigs?
Yeah, definitely. Again, because I'm not a full band, I have to kind of compensate somehow. And a lot of the time, it's just kind of trying to get people going, trying to get them to interact. Not necessarily try to fight them or anything, but just get them to crack a smile at least.
And so the mask is like funny looking?
Yeah, well, the mask was made for me by a friend of mine, because I'd always wear different masks and stuff when I played, just whatever was laying around.
Okay. Was it like kind of like a Lucha Libre thing, you know? It's kind of the spirit, your soul.
Yeah, totally.
In the mask, like Santo.
Yes, oh, I love the El Santo thing.
Yeah, they're great.
El Santo against the werewolf women. And,
And people don't realize. I mean, it was a heavy deal with the mask. You know.
Yeah, too right. I'd always kind of dug that idea, and I'm a big fan of old 70s film called Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh yeah, I remember that, Paul Williams.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? We were talking about that in the boat. We were going to some gig. Maybe it was the X1 or something, and we got somebody riding with us, and we start talking about synthesizers. And that, you know about Tonto? This gigantic synthesizer that was a whole room. It's in that movie. It was used for Stevie Wonder's 3, that's why. Yeah, the organ man Pete's wife got some fake news that Stevie Wonder had been killed in a car wreck. And that's why we started talking about this. It was with Don Dalton, who's a lawyer. He's not a synthesizer player. But anyway, that movie had that synthesizer, and that movie was a trip.
There's
an album that uses this. It was a guy from England, a guy from U.S., these two guys that ran this gigantic synthesizer, all patched together, huge thing. And there's an album called Tonto's Expanding Headband. Check it out. Yes. I think YouTube.com, you can hear it, and the story is. But it's on stuff like For the City and Superstition.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love those keyboard sounds.
Wow. Okay, so Phantom, and he's wearing like a kind of helmet, right? The Phantom.
And he's got a chaos pad around his neck, basically.
That's right. Kind of. He's ahead of the curve.
yeah, exactly. So I kind of wanted to be a bit like the Phantom of the Paradise as well.
Guys, you remember that movie? I remember it too. It was very trippy.
I
remember the time it came out. The time it came out was around Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's right. I think it was that year after.
Yeah, so it had that kind of trippy vibe, although, like the music was kind of old-time rock and roll-y.
Yeah, totally.
But the vibe was different. I mean, it was more like a movie where Rocky Horror Picture Show, the people who went to that thing, they'd go every week. And then they'd like take it over. In fact, a lot of cats I saw at that was at the Tiffany, I think it was named West Hollywood. I saw them at the first punk gigs.
Wow.
Yeah. Trippy kind of cultural. Well, it went to England. It was a big play in England. And then they made a movie out of it with Tim Curry and Meatloaf, Susan Sarandon, I think. Yeah, and Columbia, Australian lady. Yeah, Lil Nell was Columbia. I think she just passed away. Anyway, so that's a big inspiration then to the mask. Performing with a mask.
My friend Sangi, he does prosthetics for films. And when I got married, he basically said, right, I'm going to make you a face, you know, rather than wearing these crap masks all the time, I'm going to make you a good one. So he put my head in cast, moulded my face, and then made a one-off mask that kind of sticks to my face.
What's it made of?
It's made of, like, a fiberglass. It's the same stuff that the Phantom of the Opera uses on stage.
Okay.
And the company that he was working for made those masks, so he kind of took that on board. And in a weird way, it kind of came full circle, because I was wearing basically a Phantom of the Opera mask.
I saw Paul Williams go through some security maybe a year ago at an airport.
I'm surprised you could see him.
See, yeah, he's a small guy. Short guy. That's wild, a connection like that, because... God, that's like from my teenage time. That's interesting how they come together. Look, if somebody was to ask you for advice, a younger person, about this music stuff, what would you tell
them? Ignore genres at all costs. Genres are the worst.
Yeah, I agree.
And just do your thing, you know what I mean? Don't let anyone tell you... if anyone tells you that you're not good enough, then just do it on your own.
Oh, shit. That's excellent. I try to live that. And so thanks for fortifying that. You know what? I forgot. After the big one, we played Needin' Pine by the Swifter and Ape Rug, BBS. Those are from Andrea Belfi. It's on my Naya drummer. Had to give credit there. And I want to thank you so much, Brother Lee, for being on the show. Thank you. And
thank you, Mark. It's a big
success. As pushing your level motivational expression adventure and exploration. Please flow me new tunes as they come up aboard. It's been January 3rd, 2017, just here the Watt for Pedro show. I did 51 shows last year. I'm going to try to do as many this year. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.